his hand and steel in his eyes. His trigger finger never hesitates. A lone figure in the dust. Quicker than a shadow. Deadlier than a storm. He lives by the bullet, where every showdown could be his last, but it never is. His legend is written in gunpowder and blood, every shot echoing through history. In a world where a heartbeat can cost you everything, he's always a step ahead of death. DJ Outlaw.
Good afternoon. It is currently 4:07, and I'm your host, DJ Outlaw, better known as Navy Seaman Jacob Hart. And here, joined with me in the studio this hour, I have Anna DeLange, the Stars and Stripes Marketing Assistant. How are you doing today?
I'm chugging along. That's how my Wednesday is going. How's yours?
I'm trying to stay cool. This weather's got me in a little bit of a sweat going on. I'm not a huge fan of the heat myself, so it's fun.
I like the heat, but like when I can enjoy it, sitting at the beach.
That's it. I went on a kayaking tour.
Oh, yeah?
On Sunday? And I spent too much time on the beach without sunblock, and my whole body is just lobster
red. It was like the hottest
red day,
too.
It was a mistake.
Been. Yeah.
Always wear sunblock. It's just worth it. But anyways, we have a lot to talk about this hour, so keep it right here. And right now, we've got Stronger by Kanye West and Daft Punk. That was Wild Ones by Flo Rida featuring Sia. And in this segment, we're going to be talking about 12 delicious British foods to try.
Yeah, so I think something that I always like live by with traveling and just thinking about traveling, I always think about the food. I always think about the regional food and like what am I going to find? And when I went to London last year, I was kind of like, what am I going to find here? And I think a lot of people, when they think of London, or the UK in general, they think of really good Indian food, which is true. But also, I think a lot of us think about the English breakfast, and that's just kind of the end thought.
So when I think of food in the UK, only thing that comes to mind is fish and chips.
Okay.
And let's see, biscuits, which they call cookies, apparently.
Scones. Yeah. I will say fish and chips don't come to mind because I'm not a big like fish person, but that is also granted. I will say most people do think of fish and chips. Ironically, I don't think that's on the list of the 12 delicious foods on this article, which I think is actually really funny. But what I have came to realize and learn over the past like 2.5 years is that the British actually have a really nice weekly tradition of a Sunday roast.
Okay. And I grew up with that tradition in my home as well.
Yeah, I was honestly like shocked at how big of a tradition it was, because if you look at any restaurant in the UK, you will see that they have a Sunday menu and it's just different roasts, which I think is actually really cool that it's so ingrained into their culture that they have it everywhere on Sundays. And it's like their family thing. And the restaurants have been like, yep, come on in for your Sunday roast. And, you know, maybe that's something that you want to try out. And it's not just traditional roasts. I've seen people talk about trying multiple different types of roast. So I think when I think of a roast, I'm thinking of beef.
That's always what we did. We'd throw a beef or chuck roast into a crock pot with some potatoes, carrots, a little bit of broth, and let it stew while we were all at church during the day, come back and eat it that night.
Yeah, I was saying on some restaurants when I was looking at it personally myself, I was saying duck roast. I was saying some like lamb roast. So they get into their roast. So definitely something to try out if you're going to be there on a weekend. But of course, we did talk about the English breakfast, and that was something that me and my husband both were like, okay, we're going to London. We have to try the English breakfast, which...
Can you explain to me what an English breakfast is?
Yeah, so you have, you know, your eggs. You have bacon, which isn't the traditional bacon that we Americans like to think of bacon as. They use a different type of cut. It's not the same, and it's more like ham.
Okay.
Which is kind of disappointing because I'm not a big ham person. If I like bacon. I like bacon crispy. So I was like, ooh, okay. But traditionally, eggs, bacon, bangers, aka sausage. And then you get into the real English part of it, which is the baked beans.
Baked beans are English. Uh-huh.
Okay. Baked beans, grilled tomato, some type of cooked mushroom, and then toast.
You know, this doesn't sound too bad because I've always associated English food being kind of bland.
Okay.
Not a lot of spices, but everything telling me sounds fantastic.
I have always jumped to the joke of English people liking their beans on their toast.
You've never seen those. That's a new one for me.
Okay. That is like the big meme of the English breakfast world where it's beans and toast, which granted, it does sound weird. It kind of is weird. But altogether, it really worked. And it's a really filling meal, obviously, with everything that I just said. It's all on the one plate.
Now, is this like Bush's baked beans on top of a piece of bread?
It's... I don't even... It's baked beans.
Okay.
And with a toast. Sometimes like a fancy toast.
You know, I can't knock it till I try it, so that's definitely like, something to add.
It's definitely something that you do need to try, but I will say, going back to what I initially said, how a lot of people, depending on how well-versed you are in the world of like cuisine, a lot of people realize or don't realize how famous Indian food is in the UK itself. Did you know this?
I didn't know this.
Okay, so because of all the Indian immigrants that went to the UK, they actually have probably the most Indian restaurants per like areas because of how the population is there, which is crazy. But also, they have really good Indian food, coming from an Indian food fan. Really good Indian food. But also, they actually created, I want to say they created either chicken tikka masala or butter chicken. Like, that's not traditional Indian food. That is Indian food that was originated in London, which hilarious because it's like one of the most popular ones because it's so mild, which I think a lot of people, you know, they go to Indian food and they're like, ah, it's spice.
And based on some of this information that you've given me with other regional dishes, like there's steak, ale pies. What is an ale pie?
Ale pie. I think we're going to go straight to it's a pie made, probably stewed with the ale, with the steak.
That would be a very interesting flavor. There's also sausage rolls and sticky toffee pudding after offering some rich, satisfying flavors that go far and beyond chips, fish and chips.
Yeah, there's a lot of random stuff. And I will say they have some quirky things if you know of like meats wrapped in boiled eggs. Maybe you want to try something like their bacon that is not traditional bacon, which apparently it is a very specific thing to the UK. It's a mix of Canadian and American bacon. So when I say it's not bacon and it's not like ham, it is very different to try, and you definitely should. But I will say, if you are into fun drinks and cocktails and all of that stuff, when I think of the UK, I don't think of cocktails. I think of like ale and Guinness, even though it's not the UK. I think of not fun drinks, honestly. And I have realized that a lot of European countries love gin.
Gin.
I've never seen more gin in my life than being here.
That's interesting. That's one I haven't really tried much
I
yet.
Am
I've been
not,
on a whiskey kick lately, but
not a big gin person. But for some reason, if you look at a lot of cocktails around Europe, a lot of them are gin based. I'm sure there has to be some type of history associated with that. There has to be. But London, or the UK in itself, has a really good cocktail called a Pimm's Lemonade. And I will say, if you are looking for something refreshing and you find yourself in London this summer, try a Pimm's Lemonade. I found that last year at the baseball game, and it was phenomenal. I was like, wow, not what I expected from the UK, but pretty darn good.
It is their gin-based liqueur, which is the Pimm's, and they make it with lemonade, and then it's like, I can almost say it's almost like a sangria, but it's not. It just has like a bunch of the fruit inside of it, but it's so refreshing, and I guess it's gotten popular because of Wimbledon.
Really?
Yeah, so I don't know if Wimbledon created it or if it's just the popularity of Wimbledon and they serve it there, but it's definitely something you should try if you ever find yourself across the pond.
It's so fun traveling and exploring and just seeing what each culture has to offer as far as food and drink go.
Yeah, I love traveling for food. It is the best part of being over here and just being able to try all the local cuisine. So if you ever want some inspiration or if you want to see the whole list that we were talking about, everything's for free and always available at stripeseurope.com.
And keep it right here, and we've got Grand by Kanye Brown. I had thoughts of soup. Squabble up. That was Squabble Up by Kendrick Lamar. And if you missed it, I'm here in the studio with Anna DeLing, the Stars and Stripes marketing assistant, and we've been talking about some fantastic travel opportunities here in Europe. And in this segment, we're going to be chasing the checkered flag, talking about Formula One racing.
Yeah, and I think that if you don't know what F1 is, you've heard of it, because for some reason it just has gotten so popular in the past couple of years. I have never heard of F1 racing until I think maybe like 2-3 years ago when people started getting obsessed with it, but it's been around since 1950, which, shocker to me.
That's a long time. When I think of Formula One, I think of European Ricky Bobby.
I just think of people obsessed with certain drivers or certain teams.
And it is amazing how much money goes into sponsorships for these drivers and their teams. I cannot believe the amount of money, like especially in NASCAR, but I assume the same goes for Formula One.
I would assume the money goes further in F1 just because NASCAR is mostly like American versus F1 is like worldwide at this point, which is wild to me. It's bonkers. But what's also bonkers is if you ever look at these drivers' necks, they are some chunky necks because of the G-force, which I always get random videos of them like training their necks, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And then I saw a comparison of like when they first start in F1 versus like now, like current day. It's so funny. You just see like the evolution of their physical body, like them trying to protect their body, which good for them, but it is crazy how much muscle drivers need to have for the G-force that these cars are pulling lap over and over and over again. But we have a fun article giving you guys all the information about F1 itself, which we both here are not well versed in the F1 world, so we're learning
That's
together
facts.
Which I will say, the first thing I did not know until reading this is how long these races are. I would have never known that they are going for typically 305 kilometers laps.
Wow.
Around and around and around, which 305 kilometers is almost 190 miles. So they're doing like a circuit, and then now I understand why there's like 20 plus laps.
Makes sense. I wonder how fast they're traveling when they are driving these cars, because I'm pretty sure Formula One cars are faster than NASCAR.
Yeah, because they're smaller.
Yeah.
Which is astounding to me, which I will say, shout out to the engineers creating these cars and doing all these things, because that is something crazy. But apparently, so we're learning together. So 10 teams, 2 drivers for each team, so there's 20 drivers. And I don't know if, so does that mean that there's 2 cars?
I don't know. That'd be a really good question. Because I imagine the amount of money they just put into that single vehicle
shocking.
But do they swap out driver? Yeah, I don't know.
This is some great questions. I wish somebody was a fan here in this room. Because the article itself is not giving us every information that we would need for this. But what we are learning is that there are different levels of F1, which makes sense to me in my mind with, I think, every sport
in itself has like the minor leagues. So F1 isn't any different. They have F1 for what we know as F1. But they also have F2 and F3 teams. And even like Formula E.
No kidding.
So, you know, this is just so much bigger than we can ever think of. But I think that while you're here, maybe if you are into car racing or if you're into F1 itself, maybe try, if you want, to catch one of the races. And if you can't afford an F1, which I have heard can be very expensive, which makes sense with how much money they put into the cars and the drivers themselves, you know, you got to make some profit back. But I have heard that the events are fun. But maybe if you can't afford doing an F1, maybe you want to go look for an F2 or an F3 team. Or maybe try a Formula E, which the E stands for electric racing cars. Which might be crazier, I don't know.
That'd be really interesting.
Yeah, like the torque of them just like...
Yeah, from what I've heard, those electric cars, they have an insane amount of torque going through those tires.
Yeah, but if you ever find yourself maybe in Germany, there is a couple local races up in Nürburgring, which is up in northern Rhineland. So maybe you're over there. Maybe you want to check out a rally. There is a rally in October for the Central European Rally. But we have a whole schedule linked in this article. So if you want to learn more, maybe we should be learning more about F1 because it's getting so popular. But if you do want to, there's an article available at stripeseurope.com right now giving you all the information.
And keep it right here. We've got more coming up for you next. But right now we've got the theme from The Dukes of Hazzard by Waylon Jennings. That was Good News by Shibuzi. And we have got some things pretty relevant to going on right now because of it is PCS season. And if you've PCS before, you know the struggles that come with it. And your kids are also heavily affected by this. And that's why we have some great information from Stars and Stripes right now about preparing older kids for another move.
Yeah, and I think that personally, as somebody that has not PCS'd with a child, I can only say bless the parents that have done it, especially on the long haul flights, especially coming over here. I am so sorry. No matter how old your kid is, I don't even know if it'd be worse for them being younger or older.
From my experience, I imagine it's probably pretty rough with the younger.
There has to be like a sweet spot of like from this age to this age, it just is bad. No matter how old.
I don't imagine it being from like 10 and older being too terrible because the kid can kind of entertain themselves.
Self-sufficient in enough. Seat. They want to get up. They get up. They tell you. But the younger ones, when they like aren't talking, you have to make sure that like you're entertaining them. But you're also like heavy aware of the people around you and be like, I'm so sorry.
I can just tell you that a 15-hour flight with a 1.5-year-old is a nightmare. That's all I got to say about that.
So I'm like, you have that experience of even just traveling with him, which, good for you. I am lucky enough that I have not had to deal with that age that yet. Like, ooh. But I will say that we have an article, and it's actually a personal experience on our website for this mom writing about her experience, and she gives some tips about how she has prepped her children for moving. And she, at the time of writing this, her kids have gone through multiple moves, and so she's learned kind of some better things, the logistics of how and what you should and kind of maybe want to do with like logistics of just learning, maybe, you know, focusing on if your kids are in activities, making sure that they can still keep some type of norm, which I think is pretty normal with kids of a certain age having activities. And then when they are moving, a lot of them, if they're good with their emotions, are like, well, am I going to be able to do this? Am I still going to be able to do gymnastics? Am I still going to be able to, you know, be on the swim team? Which, shout out to all the parents that look for it beforehand. I know one mom, she brought her kids over here and she was like, my biggest worry was my girl not being in gymnastics for the next 2 years because it was something that she really wanted to do. She started it right before they moved, and they were in the States, which, you know, gymnastics is really popular. It's everywhere. You come overseas to a country where it's, I don't think it's as popular. And I've seen a lot of people, even on the Facebook group, just asking, does anyone know if there's any gymnastics?
It's got to be hard for those kids trying to adapt to a new situation.
And then you have some kids that are like, I just want to make friends. I saw on one of the pages that somebody was asking for tips. And a mom recently was like, my kids are actually just kind of like, I'm so excited to move and make friends. But it's going to be summer, so do you think we're going to be able to make friends? And those are the kids where I'm like, wow, you are so well adjusted. I was not that type of kid. I still am not that type of person. I'm so introverted until this job. But before that, I was like, ooh, making friends. That's scary.
I know in hindsight, if I was a teen and I was moving away, I would have a hard time leaving my friends and adjusting and trying to meet new people because I'd feel like I've already met people I like.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I want to meet more?
Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, well, I'm leaving them. Now I have to make new friends that I don't even know. And also with the military community, you don't even know how long those kids are going to be here for. So I will say, military kids, man, they're resilient. And it is crazy. And you learn so much about your kids and the kids around you and even just like your friends' kids. When they get older, you just kind of start seeing their personality more and more. And I will say something that I've learned about at least Odia here is that new kids get partnered up with a mentor at their school, which I think is so fun and so nice that they do that for the kids here, which, I mean, honestly, sometimes I'm like, wow, they should kind of do that at other schools, not even just like military focused schools. Having somebody like guide you through certain stuff is pretty crazy and pretty nice that they emphasize that. But the article also talks about just making sure that you talk to your kids, which I think is so important. So many people don't just like actually talk, and they just go through like the emotions of, and I think even as adults we kind of do that. We're just like, how's your day?
And you just, the typical answer, it's good.
Good.
It's going.
It's fine. And then you're like, okay, bye. And I think
everyone's so socially awkward.
It's so socially awkward, but it's also just everyone's just kind of like, all right, like, do you really care? And I think that's something that, especially as your kids get older, it's something that you should definitely try to push for. Make sure that, you know, you're talking to them. And with moving, make sure that you're like actually talking to them and just keeping them on the path of like, okay, I'm here for you. Don't worry about everything else. Like, I will do anything possible that if you need me and I can do it. Keep it positive, because moving's scary for anyone. No matter how old you are, I'm sure you get some type of nervous, whether it's you're 12 or you're like 24.
You're just going into the unknown.
Going into the unknown, trying to think about friends, just trying to find some type of normalcy, which normalcy takes so long, honestly, especially if you don't find what you want immediately. But it is such a roller coaster of moving. And I will say, shout out to all the kids. Y'all are troopers.
That's facts. And if you are going through a PCS this year, hang in there. You've got this. You're going to meet new friends. You're going to see new opportunities, and you're going to love it. You just have to open yourself up there. And as parents, of course, we all want what's best for our children. And with that being said, we just talked about, you have to be able to acknowledge and try and understand how they're feeling too, because you want what's best for them. And as we all know, moving is not easy.
Yeah, and if you want some more tips and tricks from this mom who's gone through some multiple PCSs with her kids going from young to preteen, maybe check out the article. Maybe you wanted just a little bit of a helping hand. And like I said, everything is always for free. It's always available at stripeseurope.com. Just search up prepping older kids for another move.
And keep it right here. We've got a wrap up coming up next. But right now we have Heat Waves by Glass Animals. Before we wrap up this hour, you just need to know that the Best of Italy nominations are now open.
Yeah, we did this new thing this past year. We actually started Best of Italy late last year. It was a birth product of me and my coworker. And we took it upon ourselves to create this survey. And it went pretty well that we are combining it at the same time as Best of Germany and Best of Italy. We're doing a two-phase type of thing. We're testing it out. We don't know how well it's going to go. The nomination phase is really short. It's only for the next 2 weeks. So if you have a favorite restaurant, a favorite tattoo shop, because I feel like there's a top like three or four tattoo shops that everyone loves, so I know that at least if somebody nominates, please put those down. If you have some favorite date night restaurants, we even included a favorite sushi place, because I feel like that is one thing that this island has so much of. There are so many sushi places that if you are into sushi, you will find like so many within the area of just like an hour from like housing. There's just so many. There's so many all you can eat, but there's also just so many like standalone sushi places. If you have a favorite, share it with the nominations. If you have any, honestly, anything, we want the nominations, because with last year when the first survey came out, because we didn't do this, I just scoured through all the Facebook groups and just took what everyone recommended and was like, okay, these are like the top like three or four places. Vote on that. I will say I feel like I did a pretty good job, and people voted for like typically like two or three things. Only a couple things were like fill in the blanks. But if you are very passionate about something, which I feel like there are some people very passionate about certain places, get those nominations in. Make the survey just a little bit more specific for the community. If you guys want to see something on that survey and you want that place to win, vote in July, but right now nominations are open until June 22nd. So if you want to nominate, if you want to be involved, get your vote on stripesyourup.com. You have another week, but if you don't want to be involved, just come back in July and vote, please. I want this to be a positive thing. We love that. If this is a great chance for anyone, honestly, A, to get local economies just like shout outs, but also for all the newcomers. It's really hard going to like a new place, finding out where like the niche places are. If they speak English, I know everyone's like, oh, well, do they speak English? Yeah, you can always pull out Google Translate, but it's always comforting to know, you know, if so many people voted for this one place, they're going to, you know, at least kind of get used to the Americans just coming in, which that's great for their business. Honestly, I will say that. So if you guys have any favorites, please vote. And if you don't, please at least vote in July and share your favorites with the community.
And I just want to say thank you so much for coming in the studio today, Anna. It's always great to have Stars and Stripes and your guys' fantastic Travel Europe information.
Of course, it's always such a fun time spending my Wednesdays with y'all.
Well, we really appreciate it. And keep it right here, because we've got another hour of the Afternoon Alibi coming up for you next. Right now, we've got Like Jenny by Jenny.